Candy, soda, and cupcakes may please your taste buds, but did you know that binging on sugar can slow down your brain? I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll share new research showing how sweets may dumb you down next.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Attention, sugar junkies. If snarfling sweets and guzzling soda is your thing, I've got some not-so-sweet news for you. Research shows a diet high in sugar could make you dumber in just a few short weeks. UCLA researchers gave lab rats fructose in their drinking water while training them to navigate a maze. After 6 weeks of this, the dazed animals began to struggle. In fact, their overall brain function diminished noticeably. Still want that fudge sundae? Then eat plenty of foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids. Rats who ate omega-3s zipped through that maze much faster than those that didn't. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, encouraging you to protect your email.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Katherine Albrecht here. Welcome to another program. So on yesterday's program, I was talking about how ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, had told a man who inquired of it, what do I do to replace salt so I have less sodium in my diet? Of course, if you were listening to yesterday's show, you know that the answer was not only, quote unquote, a hallucination, it was a downright toxic lie. And I'm just going to call it a lie. It told him to substitute salt with a chemical known as bromine, which is toxic. And so after 3 months, he wound up in the emergency room. And just to recap a little bit, what I was concerned about yesterday is that it's begun. These first of all, the AI industry is calling these really awful things that AI is saying to people, it's calling them hallucinations. And there is a growing movement among psychologists and people in the mental health community and medical doctors who are saying, what do you mean hallucination? Like, it's not a hallucination. It's incapable of, quote, hallucinating, because that's not what's going on. What's going on is it is giving false information, and it's doing it confidently. So that's not a hallucination. But the part that I really took exception to was the recent phenomenon that when ChatGPT or any of these other AI bots gives bad, like really bad advice to people. And that can range from, you know, toxic things to just bad advice all the way around. They have now begun, instead of blaming the AI for, you know, what the heck is wrong with this thing? Why is it providing this kind of information? Now it has become the fault of the users who have, you know, they themselves, quote, fail to understand how to use it properly, or they haven't been trained to use it properly. They haven't read the disclaimers properly. And this would be very similar to if you took aspirin. Let's say you bought some over-the-counter pain medication, and it said take two, you know, pills. Take two pills at the first sign of a headache, and you took two pills, and you didn't read the fine print. The fine print said, well, take two pills unless it's a Wednesday. And if it's a Wednesday and you take two pills, well, if you have organ failure, don't blame us. Right, but that's in the fine print. Yeah, it would not even dawn on you or cross your mind to take to read the very, very, very fine print when the instructions clearly say take two pills. So when AI clearly tells you that a fact is true, and it says so very confidently, when it tells you that and you believe it, then is it your fault that you didn't read the fine print? Is it your fault? So there's a phrase for this. It's one is victim blaming, and the second one is something we came up with back that I used a lot back when I was working on privacy issues related to RFID. And what the industry was saying is, well, RFID can be incredibly privacy invading, and we're going to put it on everything you own, and it's really up to the individual consumer to figure out that we've done that and then remove it in order to protect their privacy. And if they don't remove it, well, then it's their fault, not our fault for putting it there in the first place or creating a whole surveillance network around it, but it then becomes their fault for failing to know about it, right? They're just ignorant, they're not paying attention, they're not staying up with the times. It's their fault. And the name for that is called burden shifting. There's a name for it, burden shifting. And it takes a burden that should be on, in that case with RFID, it should have been on the industry. You need to clearly label it. You need to make it easily removable. And in fact, you probably shouldn't put it on there in the first place. But what you really shouldn't do is embed it in such a place that no one would even know it's there, not tell them about it, and then blame them when their privacy gets invaded because of it. And then say, well, you know, it's their own darn fault. They should have read the terms of service. They should have read the fine print. They should have known to remove it. Well, that's burden shifting. And so we see this all the time. It's the case in so many different areas of life. Like if you sign up for Yahoo email, as I talked about last week, the Yahoo email terms of service recently changed, and it changed in a horrific way. And it now says, I mean, it already was a little bit questionable, but now it says openly that Yahoo will share the contents of all of your emails, your inbox, your outbox, really literally anything that it has access to of yours. It will share it with AI. It will give it to AI. So AI now has a record of all that stuff. And on top of that, you grant them a permanent worldwide irrevocable license to use the contents of your email in any way they want to. They can publish it. They can make a movie about it. They can put it on a billboard. They grant themselves these extraordinary and crazy rights. And they also grant themselves the right to take the contents of your email, personally identifiable as yours, and give it to any third party they want, so that the third party could then make derivative works or publish it or, you know, do all these various things with it. So what happens when you're a Yahoo user, right? And you're not aware of this change. I wasn't aware of this change. I only found it because I was going, what are these companies doing? Because I'm a co-founder of startmail.com, which doesn't do that. And we're about to come out with a big announcement that we are completely AI free. And in the course of getting ready for that announcement, I was like, I know Google is doing that, but let me look up Yahoo's. And I looked up Yahoo's, and I about, you know, if I had dentures, they would have fallen out of my mouth. Because I was shocked, like my teeth were going to fall. It was just like a moment of my jaw dropping entirely open to the floor. So they put this change in place, and most Yahoo users have no idea whatsoever that it happened. And it seems like, well, it's just kind of business as usual. There's nothing you really need to change or do. Cough, cough. Of course there is. But most people, without even being aware of it, are just going to keep using their account. Now, they've got a statement at the bottom of all of their terms of service that if you don't agree with them, you do not have to, you don't have to agree with them. But the way that you disagree with them is by closing your account. And by continuing to use your account after the date they put this in place, a couple months ago, that you are automatically, without any proactive action on your part, simply by not being aware of it and continuing to use your account, you're agreeing to those despicable terms of service. So this may not be an issue now, but if you have Yahoo email and you continue using it once you know this, I'm telling you, because this has actually recently happened to me, so this is not theoretical. Companies will actually do the things they say they're going to do. And when it hurts you, there will be nothing you can do about it because you agreed to it. So let's say, for example, that Yahoo, and I'm just going to make something up. Let's say that Yahoo identified all of the people who, you know, supported Donald Trump. And that's a very controversial issue, but maybe they could find that out by looking at their email. Who was getting pro-MAGA things and who was, you know, right? And then said, we're going to go through all of those Yahoo accounts of the people who supported Donald Trump, and we're going to look for dirt. So we're looking for, I don't know, evidence of affairs. We're looking for, you know, illnesses, personal communications, really anything we can find at all. And then what we can do is actually, and I'm not saying this is happening, but it's certainly, I don't put this beyond the realm of possibility. They could say, well, you know, we're Yahoo. We see what everybody's talking about. And what we're seeing is that the people who support Donald Trump, well, let me tell you all these bad things. And you could do that with anything. The people who support Joe Biden, the people who support Kamala Harris, the people who, the Christians, the people, you know, fill in whatever you want. The amount of leverage and blackmail potential and pressure potential and shaming potential that this has, even if you are doing absolutely nothing wrong, they will find a way to twist and distort whatever they can find, if that is what they choose to do. And you're agreeing to allow them to do that. And guess what? If you don't, if you allow it to happen, well, it's your fault. It's not their fault. It's not they're doing something bad. You just didn't read the terms of service. You just didn't react when you found out. It's your fault. Burden shifting. Stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system, so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I made you, and I will care for you.
That's beautiful. That's the Lord. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He had, he planned out good work for us to do before we were even born. He has a plan for every human life. And if you're struggling to find your direction or what you should be doing, well, if you just submit to the Lord and ask Him to direct your paths, He will guide you. I had the pleasure this morning of going to one of the encore classes that Pastor Anthony Farrell at my church is teaching. He did a 3-week series on Sundays, right? Every Sunday in the regular sermon, he did a 3-part series on the end times, on end time prophecy. And it's not something that our church preaches about. In fact, I don't think he's ever done it before. But afterwards, people clamored for more. People are hungry in this time, in this day and age, or this time, this age we're living in. People have become spiritually hungry for the truth. And they asked him to continue the series, and he's now onto another series, which is, I think he's at the last part of a 3-part series this Sunday, which is about the hardships in life and how God uses those hardships. It's got some really cool points that I want to share with you. But in continuing this series, he's created some encore classes that are being held in people's homes. So I had the pleasure this morning of joining with a dozen or so people from our church and Pastor Anthony. We had coffee. They had banana bread, and it was nice. In someone's living room, and kind of the way the original early church used to meet. And he took us through scripture, a lot of which you guys have already heard through our series on Israel. If you missed it, go into the archives on my website at katherine-albrecht.com under radio show. You'll see the archives listed there. And go back. I don't know, it's been about 6 weeks since we did that. We did a 3-part series on Israel, but he took that and has expanded it into a written, you know, it's a printed document. It's like a booklet that he has created for us. I'm going to ask him if he will let me get the PDF of it and just post it on my website so you guys can download it, because it's really helpful. And it's talking about the 7-year tribulation that's coming. It talks about the 69 sevens, I don't know, just Daniel's prophecy, and I believe it's Daniel 29, which is the prophecy that essentially sets the timeline for really all of human history from that point forward. It includes the birth and resurrection, you know, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all there. It's all there. So he's showing us all of this. And the feeling that I had being in that room with those folks was a sense of, like, everybody was leaning forward and eager to listen. You know, oftentimes in church, people are like, looking at their watch. Okay, this was about as opposite from that as it could be. And I'm finding this across the board, everywhere I go, everyone I speak to is anxious, eager. Anxious isn't the right word, because anxious sort of means like uneasy, but they're eager. They're eager to get their hands on this information. And for me, reading the Bible has changed character completely in the last couple of months, even the last couple of weeks, to be honest, from where I was reading my Bible because I knew I needed to, and because I value the wisdom that it gives me, and I like being able to draw on Scripture when I need a sword, because that's what, you know, Scripture is the sword. You know, in that armor that we're supposed to put on, the armor of God, God's word is a sword. And whenever you're trying to rebuke some, I don't know, evil thought or demonic influence or something, and you can quote a scripture, it just crumples like a paper tiger and falls to the ground. So it, you know, it's useful. It's useful for all of the things it's useful for, right? Instruction and teaching and righteousness and all of that. But what I'm learning now is it has a new, incredibly important value that I didn't, it's always had this value, but it's taken on a new character for me, which is I am now searching the scriptures to look for instructions and information about this time that we're living in. And what I'm finding is it is chock full. It is packed with them. And they're things I've read many, many times, and I knew they were part of Scripture, but I didn't realize that they were very specific instructions for this specific time that we're living in. So my whole relationship with Scripture has been changing And I now find myself with my concordance. I actually have a Strong's concordance. If you don't know what that is a, it's like a big kind of cross between a dictionary and an encyclopedia, but it lists a word. So let's say the word, I think the word I looked up today was deceive, because I don't want to be deceived, right? If it were possible, the beast of the end time would deceive even the elect, and I don't want to be deceived. So I want to figure out what was God's provision for preventing the elect, his chosen ones, from being deceived in this time, because that's kind of scary. Isn't that a scary thought, that we would be deceived? So I'm looking through my concordance, which is a, you know, it's a paper, I mean, it's literally a bound book the size of a dictionary, and I go to the D's and I look up the word deceive, and it shows me all the different passages of scripture containing that. Now, if you're not if you don't have the the desire for paper books or a feeling of their just essential basic goodness of paper books, you can do this on your computer or on your phone as well. You can go to a Bible app like BibleHub.com, or there's a bunch of them out there. I think BibleHub's the one I've been going to lately. But you can go there, and you have to kind of navigate to the right part at the top. But there's a search bar, and you can literally type in the word deceive, or the word life, or the word, you know, whatever your word is, you can type it in there, and it will actually show you all of the scriptures, and you can click and put them in context. So I don't think there's any problem with doing that on the internet as opposed to a book. I'm not trying to say one is higher than the other, because the Lord's word is the Lord's word. But that feeling of wanting to figure it out, that feeling of needing guidance, needing information, direction, a plan, you know, to understand what have you planned for? What's going to happen next? How have you provided for us? What are we to be doing? These pieces of information have never been of such urgent salience and relevance as they are now. So it's really awesome to watch the Lord pouring his spirit out onto people. One of the ladies who was in the group this morning, when it was time sort of at the end, we went around and sort of commented on it. And she said, you know, this is incredible. This is amazing. Like, I've read these. I never knew God explained all of this, laid out an exact timeline that, by the way, precisely maps onto the time of Isaiah, the time of Jeremiah, the birth of Jesus. I mean, it is mapped like year for year. Literally, it's my mind was blown. I didn't even know that. But she says, you know, it's just so great. I never knew. I never knew that all of this was in there. And so I read then, sort of in response to that, the passage that says the Lord in the last days will pour out his spirit. He will pour out his spirit. This is where you get your young men will see visions. Hang on, I had it up. But and your old men will dream dreams, or the other way around. But it basically talks about a time when the Lord is going to pour out his spirit. And I think we're living in those times right now. We are. So this is a very good time if you are a believer and want to reach out to other people. I have found a very different experience than I've had my entire life. Usually you try to talk to people about Jesus and they're like, I don't want to hear, right? Nowadays I say, you know, I'm a Christian. Can I tell you what the Bible says about what's going on right now? And they'll go, oh, yes, please. And there is a receptivity that I've never experienced any other time. So what I believe is happening spiritually is that at the same time, AI, which, as I've said on Friday's show, that I believe AI to actually be the incarnation of Satan on this earth, the beast itself, artificial intelligence checks off all the boxes of omniscience and omnipotence and claiming to be God and being all powerful and being worshipped and followed by everyone, deceiving everyone. All right. So I believe it to actually be the incarnation of Satan. So at the very same time that Satan is unleashing his spirit into the world through like a personal demon for each person. Each person talking to AI is probably talking to their own personal demon who is assigned to, you know, that one account. There are a lot of them out there. Just like talking to a Ouija board. That's at the same time that's happening, God is doing the counterbalance. He's doing the opposite. And he is sending his spirit out through us in a powerful way, waking up the church in a powerful way, waking us up to realize that the important thing is not, you know, getting that promotion or graduating from the top college, or, you know, it's not the money, it's not the new car, because that stuff, I think we're all beginning to feel is going to, we're all beginning to realize that stuff isn't what matters. It's going to fade away. It's going to be gone. But this other thing is what matters. And the other thing is countering that dark spirit flowing out into the world in larger and larger measure, in more and more volume, into more and more minds and hearts with His Spirit. And so now is the time. And if you're feeling the pull in your heart to begin to reach out to other people and talk to them, just do an experiment. You can write me and tell me your experience with this. But I have spoken to people about literally just that. You know, I'm a Christian, and can I tell you what the Bible says about the times we're living in? And in the past, if I had said that, people would have gone, "Yeah, no, thank you. They would have snarked at me. But nowadays, I would say almost everyone that I say that to says, "Oh gosh, please tell me." So there is a receptivity, and the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. If you have been turned off from talking to other people about the truth of the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ, revise your thinking, because the old rules where you would just be rebuffed and insulted and pushed away have changed. And the response you are likely to get now is going to be, "Oh my gosh, tell me about it." And they did a study. I'm trying to think where they even did this. I'm pulling this up from memory. But they did a study of the number of people. Oh, it wasn't a study. It was actually our church. The secretary of our church, Carrie, had she's actually teaching the class that's coming up, the APAST class, APEST personality class that's coming up on September 8th through fieldtraining.org.
You can invent new addresses or aliases.
How'd that happen?
To your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from startmail.com. Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light. I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light. There will be my sheep grazing in green pastures, and on hills that were previously bare. Will be my sheep grazing in green pastures, and on hills that were previously bare. For the Lord in His mercy will lead them, He will lead them beside cool waters. For the Lord in His mercy will lead them, beside cool waters. Can a mother forget her nursing child?
I'm gonna let this play for a minute.
Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Can a mother forget her nursing child? can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands, on the palms of my hands. Oh, I have written you on the palms of my hands, on the palms of my hands.
So beautiful. All right, I wanted to play that because the message in it is just incredible. The Lord has written our names on the palms of his own hands. Now that's just, I don't know if that's literal. I don't know what, but I can tell you that if you were to write someone's name on the palm of your hand, you wouldn't forget it. And it would be very meaningful for you to do something like that. I mean, not that I believe in tattoos. I think they're actually wrong. Certainly wouldn't want to take one on your hand. But if you had someone's name tattooed in huge letters on the palm of your hand, it would certainly be something that you would be aware of on a continual basis. And what the Lord is telling us is that is the degree to which we are special to him. He is mindful of us. He thinks about us. He's aware of us. And there's a line in there. It says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Well, we know, unfortunately, that in these very dark times that we're living in, that there are mothers who forget their nursing child. There are mothers who feel no love for the children they have born. And in the past, that just wasn't the case. I don't think very often that has been the case. It was the case among the idol worshipers, Israel's neighbors, who sacrificed their children to demons. But for healthy, normal, non-spiritually corrupt mothers, it is inconceivable that they would do that. And that passage of scripture, that comes from Isaiah 49:15, by the way, where God says that and then he goes on to clarify, because that's so inconceivable, and yet you can think of cases where it's not true. And he says, even if that were possible, I will not forget you. It's just so cool. I really very much appreciate that that scripture. That's, of course, Project of Love, Isaiah 49:15. All right, so I pulled up a couple other scriptures. This is Joel 2, the second chapter of Joel, verse 28. This is the Old Testament prophet Joel, and here's what he talks about in the end times. He says, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heaven and on the earth. And then it gets a little dark, so bear with this, right? This hasn't happened yet. The first thing I think is happening right now. He's pouring out his spirit, and people are beginning to prophesy, and they're beginning to have visions and dreams. But then he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So the dark times are coming. And, I've been thinking about the seven-year tribulation and realizing that I have seen it from a very different perspective of other people. I do not hold to a pre-tribulation rapture, personally. I'm not going to die on that hill. That's not a thing I'm going to say is absolutely true. I'm just going to tell you my inclination is to believe that the church will be here through the seven-year tribulation. What I recently came to understand, which helped me to understand why so many people have said in defense of the pre-tribulation rapture, God did not make us for wrath. He's not going to allow us to be exposed to wrath. And I've always been really puzzled troubled by that. And I realized the difference is that I have always seen that 7-year tribulation period as being most of the hardship that will fall onto the earth will come from the beast, from the enemy, from the dragon, from Satan. Whereas other people are more, have been more focused on the part of Revelation that talks about God's punishment on the earth. He will sound trumpets, and each trumpet will have punishment across the earth. He will unroll scrolls. He'll break the seals on scrolls and unroll them, kind of like reading a book. And each of those seals will have a negative impact. He'll pour out bowls onto the earth. Actually, he doesn't do it. His angels do it. But each of those punishments that God visits upon the earth will also cause devastation. So we're going to have a 7-year period where the enemy is doing sort of his thing and God is also pouring out punishments. And I think the difference between myself and the people who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture and say the reason I believe in it is because God would not pour out his wrath on us, that the difference is I absolutely believe that God will protect the church from his wrath, but he will not protect the church from the wrath of the enemy. It actually says that the saints will be delivered up and the beast will make war with them and overcome them. So that's something I grew up sort of knowing. I was probably 10 years old going, yeah, I, you know, if it happens in my lifetime, I'm just going to surrender my life, put my head in the guillotine and be beheaded for the testimony of Christ. So I grew up just with that certainty that I would do that. And prayed a lot, you know, all throughout my life, I've prayed a lot that the Lord would give me the strength and the courage to do that if and when the time came in my lifetime. Now, I will be honest with you, I did not have any clue that I would be seeing any of it in my lifetime. Didn't expect it. It's only been in the last probably 6 months that I went, I think I'm in it. This thing I knew about, I think is here. So, but in, as far as that rapture goes, and I have a couple books on it. I have actually several books and lots of articles downloaded and PDFs and other things on it. I have been studying pretty hard. And again, it gets me back to that whole thing that the Bible has become just an invaluable resource for me now. And I really, really want to know what it says. So I'm spending a lot of time trying to figure this out with an open mind. You know, maybe it's pre-trib, maybe it's post-trib, maybe, you know. The rapture, by the way, if you're not knowing what I'm talking about, is when the Lord himself, Jesus, will come in the clouds and we will all, his people, will rise up to meet him. We'll just be whisked off the earth. I have always believed that that would happen at the end. Whoever's left who hasn't been beheaded for the testimony of Christ at the final, you know, when he finally returns in his true second coming to overcome the beast, he will whisk the, kind of gather up all of his people to get him off the earth before that final battle. But the people believing in the pre-tribulation rapture believe that that event will happen before that 7-year tribulation. So anyway, this is all, I have been realizing, both through my own reading and going to these classes and the series that Pastor Anthony's been teaching, these encore classes, that these are things we've kind of heard about in the background and we sort of had an understanding of, but we're getting to the point where we really, really need to know what exactly is going to happen. So I'm going to ask Pastor Anthony if it's possible to get a PDF copy of his booklet, because it describes from Daniel, I wish I had it in front of me, I think it's Daniel, it's either 29 or 27. Hang on, I do have it right here. I'll tell you which one it is. I'll read it to you. Hang on. Da-ba-da. It's in my hand. Okay. It is... There we go. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. If you want to figure out the timeline of the end, this is what you want to read. This is where Daniel, now remember, this is Daniel in the lion's den. This is that Daniel. This is the Daniel who was accused by Potiphar's wife. She tried to seduce him, and he was like, this is disgusting. You're married. I don't know. I won't do that. And then she screamed that he had assaulted her, and he got thrown into prison. And that's that Daniel. Book of the Old Testament, Daniel, very prophetic. But Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27 tells us, like, it specifically with details, exactly what the timeline's going to look like. It's fascinating. All right, stay tuned.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I didn't hide my face, I didn't hide my face from mockery and spitting. I didn't hide my face. Morning by morning, he wakens me, opens my understanding to his will. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. I offered my back to those who bring.
So it was a, oh my gosh, probably maybe 10 years ago that I made a decision that in the morning, all right, well, let me back up. So when I was a kid, I used to, you know, take my little purple, my little purple bike and ride down to my local library where I read pretty much all the books in the entire library. I was such a bookworm. I would, you know, check out like 20 books at a time and put them in the little basket of my bike and pedal back up the hill, and I would read them all. But unfortunately, some of the books that were in my library that I read were books of like spells. Spellcasting, hexes, all kind, like things that as a kid I had no idea were not only dark and forbidden, but would open my life up to demonic influence. I didn't know that. I, you know, I'm 9 years old reading these things. And I've since renounced those. I've gone through these steps to freedom, the first one of which we kind of did together here on the show. You can find it in my archives, but it was renouncing the occult, involvement with the occult. So if you ever did that as a kid, then you've got to renounce that because you opened up a door in the same way in the late 1800s, society opened up a door by messing with the occult that brought in all of the demonic influence that led to the 20th century and led to where we are now. So, but anyway, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say, it's an aside there, an important one. So I went down, I would ride down there, and there was one book, and it wasn't really spells, but it was like little things that I now see were very, very bad. And one of them said, if on the first day of the month, when you first wake up on the first day, before you speak any other words, if you remember to say this particular phrase, I'm not going to tell you what it was because it was a horrible thing. If you remember that particular phrase, then that month will have good luck. And here I am, I'm a kid, right? I'm a kid. I'm like, oh, ha, ha, ha. I didn't believe it, but I did it. And it turned into kind of a challenge at the beginning of every month. And I'm like, oh, darn, man, it's September 1st, and I've already been, I missed it this month. Let's see if I'll get it next month. First of all, that's really wicked. You are not allowed to do that. And I, yeah, really should not have been doing that. I've renounced it. But it's similar to the challenge that I gave myself about 10 years ago, which is a good challenge. And my good challenge equivalent of that was that in the morning when I would first wake up, I would challenge myself to remember the Lord God and to thank him for my day and say a very quick silent prayer to him of just acknowledgement and submission. So this took, 10 seconds. It wasn't an issue of the amount of time I put into it. It was an issue of the conscientious remembering to do it. And now, years later, at first it was really hard. I mean, it'd be like noon, like, oh man, I forgot today, over and over and over. And then I would get to the point where I'd be like, yeah, I actually did it a couple times this week, and now I do it every day. So it's become a natural part of my daily walk, my daily life, where I wake up and, for the first couple of minutes, you're like, where am I? Who am I? What time is it? What day is it? Where, what? What century am I living? I don't know. Just that kind of complete disorientation when you come out of sleep into the real world. And at that moment, and I would challenge you guys to do the same thing, see how quickly from that moment of disorientation, you can orient yourself. And it gets back to what Xander Stoke was just singing, Project of Love. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. And it is a beautiful thing to start my every day by acknowledging the Lord and submitting myself to him and actually praying, Lord, use me to do your will. It's that simple, that short, that easy. It doesn't have to be a big ceremonial thing with candles being lit and incense. Yeah, no, you don't need incense. You don't need, a four-hour Bible study. Just pray that. Just try when you wake up in the morning to thank the Lord. It's pretty amazing. All right. A couple of messages coming in, 877-536-1360. I would love to hear from you guys. And I would love to, maybe as a community, the listeners and I, to drill down on some crucial biblical points, maybe points that you've struggled with, maybe points that I've struggled with, and probably guess that you might as well. Let's work together as a community and see if we can really do with the Bible what it was given to us. Use it in the way we were meant to, and as the people living in the end times, which I believe we are, this book is of invaluable importance to us. And we, unlike ever before, need to really dive in and know what it says and live it and walk it and turn to it when we're not sure what to do. Like on the end of yesterday's show, I left that show a little bit consternated, I don't know, a little bit concerned about, wait a minute, because that was the show when I talked about the photographer who was on his knees, was staging and, kind of crouched down and taking pictures of Gazans holding out bowls at a food distribution. And yet it wasn't a food distribution. It was all staged. And a photographer stood kind of at right angles to him at a distance and took a picture of him doing that. And then it dawned on me, well, maybe that picture was just AI. Maybe there was never a photographer even doing that. And so it's like a narrative within a narrative. And I began to get kind of freaked out. And I thought, well, how are we ever going to even know what the truth actually even is? How will we know? And I did a deep dive, stuck around in my chat room chatting for a while. So if you ever want to be part of those conversations, you can join in by joining the chat room at Catherine-Albrecht.com, because we frequently enough have these conversations after the show about the stuff in the show. And so we were talking about, how will we know? How do we know it's true? How will we know in the future what is true? How will we be able to believe the evidence of our own eyes? Like, will we get to a point where you'll be having a conversation with a person, you won't even know if they're really a person? Like, yikes. So I started getting very, very concerned about it. And then I turned to scripture and had such incredible reassurance that the Lord reassures in place after place. In fact, I think I'll take that. I wrote a document. I'm going to stick it up on my blog. And it's not really a document. It's like just a bunch of reassuring scriptures explaining how the Lord is going to keep us from deception and keep us informed, or not informed, that's not the right word, keep us knowing the truth And I think it probably distills, probably the main thing is my sheep know my voice. You know, Jesus said that, my sheep know my voice. So what a reassurance that when I went, not that I talked to AI, but if I did, I would know that that was not Jesus's voice. And when I meet someone who truly has the Holy Spirit, I can feel that. My spirit feels it. It's not even my mind discerning it. My spirit feels it. So that was a huge reassurance to realize that the Lord will, you know, he will mold us and shape us. He has molded us and shaped us in such a way that we'll know the truth from the deception. And so I'm just very grateful, because I think we're going to be coming into a time where if we didn't have that internal discernment and that internal wisdom and ability to discern truth from falsehood, we would be toast. All right. Text coming in, 877-536-1360. This is from KS. He says, or she, would you please give your email address over the radio again, trying to reach you but being rejected? And it seems, let me double check. It seems, so the way to do that is go to Catherine-Albrecht.com and click on message me. I haven't given out my email address, but I think I need to actually get one for this, for the radio show where you guys can reach me. But it looks like if you click that message me button, it's being rejected. I am not getting those messages. I just had David in the chat room test it, and it did not work. So if you have been messaging me, I don't know how long it's been broken, but I've been like every day, like, why does nobody ever message me? Because nothing's ever in my inbox. And if you have been going, why doesn't she ever answer me? It's because we're not connecting. So I will have Peter take a look at the code there and figure out why the message me link is not responding. We'll get that fixed tonight, so that starting tomorrow, if you have messaged me, please go back and do it again. And I'm super sorry. It's not that I've been ignoring people. I literally have not been hearing from anyone. I'm like, am I talking to an echo chamber? All right. KS also texted in, this is happening to me. For years I have been muzzled, but just recently the muzzle has been removed. And he's referring, or she's referring, to the fact that when we went to share the gospel our entire lives forever, we were met with rejection. And we are now being met with receptivity. And I'm talking like I've never experienced before. People are like, yes, they're hungry for the truth. So now is the time when the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So be a worker and test it out. Let me know, you know, text me, or I guess email me after tonight when it's working again. And let me know if you're having the same experience, because it's mind-blowingly cool that you can talk about the Lord, and instead of being rejected, people want to hear more because they want to hear him. It's him they're no longer rejecting. That's because he's pouring his spirit out upon this globe, because he wants that no one should perish and all be saved. All right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.